All right.
So, I guess I have some interview questions here, but I just want to keep it.
You're where in school?
I go to Menlo School.
Okay.
So.
And what grade?
I'm a junior, incoming senior. I guess I'll just tell you about myself, first of all.
Great.
So, 2 weeks ago, school's out now, but at the end of school for Menlo, we have something called M-term, which is basically 2 weeks of some social issue you're interested in or community service. And I decided to focus on housing affordability. And going down that rabbit hole, I ran into Atherton's housing element and thought the story with the housing element was very fascinating. And there was like a lot to uncover there. So this is kind of after the M term is finished, but I thought it'd still be very interesting to talk to you.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I'm just interested in how the housing element works and like what the current position is on it and possibly what solutions are being presented right now and how far it's gone. So, I mean, that's...
And are you writing a paper or are you pretty much done with that?
I created like a little video basically detailing how or like the current state of the housing element, and I'm planning on like presenting it on Nextdoor and also to like other people in the community. But
not part of school.
This is not part of school, but I did create like the little informational video as part of school because the teacher recommended I do something a bit more interesting than a traditional research paper. So that's something I decided to do, and I'm also very into like video making and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So even though it's already finished, I thought it'd be still very interesting and great to talk to you about this. So
no problem.
I'm very excited.
Good.
So I guess we could start off with you and explain what your role is in Atherton's city council and possibly your role in the housing element that's being proposed in Atherton right now.
Okay. I've been on the city council for 10 years. I've been the mayor 3 times. The way Atherton works is the council elects the mayor, and it's a one-year deal. So you can't be mayor more than 1 year in a row. Personally, I don't really... Some people really like to be mayor because it's like a big sort of figurehead thing. I don't really care about it. What I care about is that the council function well. And being mayor involves facilitating council meetings, so there's a management issue that's important, which I've been on many boards in my life, so I know how to run boards and I know how to participate in boards. And the council operates pretty efficiently and quite respectfully of each other, which is good. So my role on the council is I kind of focus on what I think are the biggest, most important things, and there's no question but that over the last couple of years, the most important thing has been the housing. Prior to that, the most important thing was building this whole center. We had very old buildings that were falling apart, rotting literally, I mean, had plastic over the roofs. They were built in the early 50s. Atherton's never had a lot of money to invest in civic things. So getting this town center built and raising the money to build it was a really big deal for Atherton. Once that was done, we kind of entered into this housing element. And the way the housing element works is California has had what's called housing element requirements, which are a 6-year housing target that every municipality and county is obligated to zone for an amount of new housing. And because I think principally homelessness, the state legislature has decided that they needed to dramatically increase the amount of housing that was being built in California. And in particular, you would think they'd focus on affordable housing, and there is an element of affordable housing, but it really is pretty much just new housing. And every community's had to increase the amount of housing that they provide for by about 370 to 400%. And for Atherton, so this is the sixth 8-year housing element cycle that California's gone through. And in this 8-year cycle will be 2023 to 2031. And in this cycle, Atherton had to increase its amount of housing by 375%, with the target being 348 new housing units. Mm-hmm. That's the state requirement. And it's, I think a couple things. I think number one, having that amount of housing isn't going to have any material impact on homelessness. I think homelessness is much more complicated than just housing availability. Hi. We can go outside if you guys are still meeting.
No, that's okay.
She's picking up stuff.
Yeah, he's going to go home for the day.
Okay.
And I'm going to pack up, I'm just going to pack up some of my stuff, and then I'm going
to... Do you need to work here? Or?
No, I'm going to drive around town, and I'm going to take pictures of everything that we talked about today.
Okay,
good. You know where the train station is, right?
I know where that is. That's at the end of the day, though.
And did you go, you looked at the historic town hall then?
Yeah, I know. So the little rooms are pretty small, and they're filled with stuff now, obviously.
Well, the back room isn't. It's got an open table. You can probably put your equipment in.
Oh, yeah, no. In terms of storing equipment, it's perfect.
Yeah.
But we may end up actually... since we were going to probably film the interviews over here, this is what I was getting at, is that it's not very photogenic inside for filming. Fine. And unfortunately, there's going to be construction going on, you know, when we do our interviews out here.
Maybe.
But, I mean, still there's going to be trains going by.
It's possible.
And it might be loud.
Yeah.
You know, so...
So maybe in here.
Outdoors might not be the best for interviews, so we're going to do... Your interview in the chambers.
Okay, in the chambers.
And then we're going to do another interview in the front lobby here, and then another interview upstairs.
Okay.
And then we're going to move to Marion's house, and then we're going to do Marion
and Frank in the park if he can get here. I sent you his response. But anyway, I'm in the middle of this interview.
No worries.
Okay, so
have a great day.
So, So the state, through its mechanisms, has required a 375% increase. And the problem that Atherton has with that is they allocate this increase to every community, no matter what the community is.
Right.
There's no differentiation between San Francisco and Atherton or San Francisco and any other community, other than the number of units. And you are required to build a number, or to not build, but to zone for a number of units based on what your population is. The problem that Atherton has is that the town of Atherton has no land other than this 4.5-acre parcel where we just built these town buildings, and there's no open land here. And a park that's a 22-acre park that Atherton was donated to Atherton in 1958, and the donation, the deed, explicitly says that if it's used for housing, it'll go to Stanford University. So essentially, the town of Atherton has no land that it can just decide to build on. I mean, we may be able to put 4 or 6 units in the park and call it incidental, because there's an exception to the deed that for incidental housing. There's one house in the park right now, and we could tear that down and maybe put a few townhouses there. We'd have to get a legal opinion to make sure we don't lose the park. But basically, Atherton has no land, unlike every other city around us, including Portola Valley and Woodside, which are about our size. They all have land. So they can build on their land, we don't. And we have no commercial buildings. So we can't convert a retail or commercial or industrial building into housing. So the only housing in Atherton is people's private property.
Right.
So the state requires that we rezone some of that private property to be denser. The problem with that is, A, every time the city council has looked at rezoning an area, which we've, over the last 2 years, looked at four or five areas, every resident who lives in that area that we targeted to rezone has sent a letter in saying under no conditions will they sell their property. So that makes those properties where a homeowner says they won't sell ineligible for being qualified for the housing element, unless you take the position that the homeowner's lying. That's kind of hard to do. When somebody sends you a letter and says, under no condition will I sell my property, I'm not going to say, well, you're lying.
Right.
But that makes it very, very difficult for Atherton to increase density. So initially, our city council, like every other city council in California, just sort of focused on how can we comply with the state's requirement and the number of housing units, which, frankly, they're not requiring those to be affordable. They're just requiring new housing. And everybody just looks at, well, how do we comply with this requirement? Because the failure to comply is very onerous. They could fine you $100,000 a month, and more significantly, they could take over your whole land use decision-making process. That's not happened yet, but, and I'll get back to that, but it's a threat. And nobody wants to see that threat come to reality. So we focused on how we could comply with that number, and we found it very difficult. And then when I saw every resident who lives near an area that, and including the areas that we targeted where we considered rezoning to make it denser, opposing it, I went, wow, that's very significant. Instead of trying to satisfy the state's number and just comply with the state requirement, Why don't I look at what Atherton really needs in terms of housing? And that sort of changed my focus. And coming out of that, I said, wow, what we really need is affordable housing. We need more housing, but it has to be affordable, because the problem that we have in Atherton is we have 8 schools, and there's 1,000 employees that work at those 8 schools, and our population literally doubles every school day because there's so many kids and staff coming into those schools. Well, those 1,000 people that work in those 8 schools, none of them can live in Atherton. I mean, unless they're really lucky, but it's in general, they don't live in Atherton.
No, I agree.
And some of them live 2 hours away. It's a real serious burden on them. And I look at the people that work in the town, and I look at the people that work in properties in Atherton. None of them can live in Atherton. The property is $10 to $12 million an acre in Atherton. That's, you know, nobody's gonna work in a town like Atherton or at one of the schools and be able to afford that. So what I realized was we really need affordable housing, because people need to be able to live closer to where they work. How can we generate affordable housing? And instead of just trying to think about how can we generate 348 housing units, I really started to think about, well, how can we generate affordable housing? And given the cost of the property, it was quite clear to me that if property changes hands, you can't build affordable housing. And the thing that made me realize that is I talked to a developer who wanted to buy a 6-acre parcel, an undeveloped 6-acre parcel that became available. But he wanted to put townhouses on it. And this is the biggest builder in Atherton. They do about 10 houses at a time. And I said, well, okay, what do you want to do with this property? Well, they want to put townhouses on it. And I thought, wow, okay, so let me think about how that would work. So you'd put about 6 to 8 units on an acre rather than 1 unit an acre like is zoned for. So we'd have to change zoning to allow for that. And what would the cost be? Well, the cost would be $5 to $6 million for each of those townhouses. Well, that's obviously not affordable. But I realized, wow, okay, but there's a market for that. Atherton residents, especially older Atherton residents who don't want to take care of property anymore and who want to travel more during the year, their kids are gone, they've retired, to be on a secure location where six or eight people live on their acre rather than just them live on their acre, gives them the ability to travel and have other people around that can kind of, you know, there's safety in numbers, and they don't have to take care of the landscaping. You have a homeowners association or some other kind of an organization that takes care of the landscaping. I realized that even for $5 or $6 million, there's absolutely a market for that housing. And for Atherton residents, it would be a good thing because people would want to give up their acre and, you know, when they're retired, move on. But it's not affordable. And it wouldn't, under any conditions, address the affordability need that we have for school staff and for people who work in Atherton. So I realized, well, okay, what kind of housing can there be in Atherton where you don't have to transfer property? Because it's the transfer property that's so expensive.
Right.
And there's two kinds of housing that are really significant that we could have in Atherton that don't involve transfer of property. Number one, people can build ADUs. People, especially with an acre, can easily put a studio, one bedroom, or even two bedroom, 1,000 square foot unit on their property. Absolutely, they can do it. And because Atherton is affluent, somebody could build that, and it's going to cost them $300,000 or $500,000 to build it. But they could rent it at $1,000 a bedroom a month. That's affordable.
Yeah.
Now, they're losing money on it, but they can make the choice, because they have sufficient affluence, to make it available to people at an affordable rate. Will they do that is a really big question. But we, in the course of people objecting to the idea of building multifamily housing units, apartments near them, we've gotten lots of people saying, well, we'd be happy to rent an ADU at an affordable rate. Will they really do that? That's a good question. I don't know. But as a city, we could create a program that would monitor that. First of all, it would try to incentivize people to build ADUs, and it would monitor whether they get rented or not and at what rate they get rented. And most ADUs in Atherton are probably uninhabited. But the next most significant use of ADUs in Atherton are probably family members take them, kids or parents. And they're pretty much rented for nothing to those family members. That counts, right? That's free rent.
Yeah.
Now, those kids or parents may be wealthy, so they don't qualify for low income and they don't satisfy the low income requirement, but a bunch of them would satisfy that because they're, you know, whatever. They're to be low income in San Mateo County, I think you have to make less than $80,000 a year. That most kids, my kids would qualify. My parents are dead, but they would have qualified at the end of their lives when they were retired.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably true of a lot of people in Atherton. So absolutely making that property available to family members in general works. And the third most likely use of ADUs in Atherton is for employees that work for people.
Yeah.
And that works. So those people absolutely qualify, and they're probably not paying much rent, if anything. So all of that works, but to make it really satisfy the state requirements, we'd have to build a very robust program that would A, encourage people to build ADUs, and B, confirm that in fact they're being rented at affordable rates. That program doesn't exist today, so that would be a fair amount of work, which the town could afford to put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to find a partner who would go out and qualify low and very low income people who could then be, you know, basically interviewed by that organization and be put on a list that Atherton residents could interview and consider renting to. So that's one type of housing that would be affordable if it were rented at affordable rates. And And you have to assume that zero rent to a family member counts. But I don't think that's, I mean, some people might challenge that, but in fact, it's valid.
Yeah.
So the other kind of housing that could happen in Atherton without property being transferred is authorizing multifamily units built on school property, right? Schools, especially the private schools, have considerable property. Menlo College, Menlo School, Sacred Heart School all have significant amounts of property. And you could build apartment buildings for your staff, not just teachers, but for your staff. And those staff need to live here. So there should be motivation for those schools to do it. Now, of course, there's a cost issue. They have to raise money
right.
to be able to build them. Well, Menlo School and Sacred Heart School don't have much problem raising money. They raise lots of money and they build beautiful buildings.
Uh-huh.
And that's doable. Whether they want to do that or not is a different question. But our job is not to build the housing. Our job as the city council is to zone for the housing. So we could, and I think will, rezone those schools to make them 20 or 40 units an acre of housing, which qualifies in the state as, you know, low-income housing, because if it's more than 20 units, if it's 20 or more units an acre, you don't have to do an analysis. It just qualifies as low-income housing, which actually is kind of stupid, because in Atherton, 20 units an acre, if you have to buy land for $12 million, 20 units an acre, that's $600,000 a unit just in land cost.
Right.
And the analysis I've seen is that some developer is, if you do 20 units an acre, some developer's into a cost of about $1.2 million a unit before they've even built it.
Huh.
So there, I mean, we haven't yet hired someone to do the analysis to confirm that you can't build a 20 unit acre affordable housing development in Atherton because the land cost is too great, but that's what I'm told by developers, and we need for the state to believe us. We need to have some kind of substantiation of that. We can't just say we've talked to developers and it's not affordable. But strategically, which is kind of my job, I've said. Let's focus on what Atherton needs, which we really do need affordable housing. I mean, we really need it. We've got more people than we can build housing for. But how do you build that housing? I mean, if I were a developer and I were going to build either a small apartment building or a townhouse complex, why would I buy an acre or a half an acre in Atherton at $10 to $12 million an acre when I can go to Redwood City and buy it for half the cost or a third of the cost? And why would you do that? It's only a quarter mile down the road.
Right.
You're going to build it down there. You're not going to build it here. So it's just not going to happen. The only way it's going to happen is if we build a program to enable the ADUs and if somehow we get the schools to raise the money to build the housing.
And so far, you guys have already submitted some proposals to the state for like ADUs and school housing.
Exactly.
And so forth. Some of those proposals were rejected or they said that you had to refine them, right? So what's the current state of all that with the state?
Yeah.
And like what sort of changes do you have to make to like the current housing element
proposal? So we submitted our housing element on January 31st. And the state law allows a jurisdiction to certify it.
Uh-huh.
Some jurisdictions don't certify it. They don't feel comfortable taking that position. Atherton certified it. So we said, this is valid under state law. This is what we're filing. We're certifying it.
Right.
And it exceeded the 348 number. I think 280 units were ADUs, which is 35 a year for 8 years. And the remainder were mostly housing at the schools. And they were housing at the schools. We didn't include Sacred Heart because Sacred Heart said that under no conditions would they build. But both Menlo School and particularly Menlo College said they were interested.
Yeah.
So that's included in our housing element. The state came back with probably 85% of their comments requiring more analysis.
Like, uh-huh.
analysis of, you know, all kinds of things. How many disabled households are there in Atherton? How many women-headed households are there in Atherton? That they wanted racial breakdowns. They wanted all kinds of analysis that exceeded what our consultants had provided. So theoretically, our consultants are revising that to address their analytical requirements. In terms of the substance, they questioned our ability to build 35 ADUs a year because they were looking, I think, at 2018 and 2019, and we built 15 or 18 units a year. And they questioned the 35, which is a valid concern. And they had some questions about the school zoning based on history, because we had said the schools were going to build in the past and they didn't build. On the ADUs, and they said you have to authorize multifamily housing, either apartments or townhouses, elsewhere in Atherton. And our response, we haven't responded. We're just reviewing it now, right. And we probably won't respond for 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But we are in the process of working through that. Actually, in June, at our council meeting, for the first time, the consultants are going to present to us on, what the state said and what they would suggest we respond with. So we haven't had that conversation. But with respect to the ADUs, in 2020, which was when COVID started, we changed the law in Atherton. So before 2020, they're looking at 2018, 2019, where we had 15 to 18 new ADUs a year. In 2021 and 2022, we've had about 30 or 32 a year. The reason for that increase is in 2020, we changed the law. We said that if someone builds an ADU, then the square footage of their ADU doesn't count for maximum square footage on your property. So essentially that said, if you build an ADU, the square footage for the ADU is free in terms of everybody. There's an amount of square footage coverage on a lot. Yeah. That's a maximum amount of building you can put on that lot that's got a roof over it. And by making the square footage of ADUs free in terms of square footage, because everybody in Atherton builds to the maximum square foot, and the reason is because the land property is so expensive, they're going to put in the maximum housing they can put on it because they've paid so much for the land. And that guaranteed every single new family house that gets torn down and built in Atherton includes an ADU now. So every new property that gets built in Atherton has an ADU ever since 2020. So that's why we've gone to the state and said, okay, you're looking at 18, 19, but we made a legal change in 2020. And we've got history to show that we're in fact building a lot more than we built in 18 and 19. So you shouldn't use your default judgment on how many ADUs somebody can build, because we've got actual factual proof that we're building more. And we sent out a survey last year during this whole debate about multifamily housing.
Yeah.
And the number of respondents we got to the survey were very, I think we sent it out to everyone. We got like 450 back, and 50% of them said they'd build an ADU. Now, whether they will or not is a different issue, but that's a pretty significant response.
Uh-huh.
And so even if only 10% of those get built, we're going to meet our 35 number based on already building 30 to 32 a year.
Right.
So we're very comfortable we can meet the 35 number. What we're not as comfortable, and I think the state is saying, well, maybe your 35 number is okay, but they're questioning whether they're going to be really rented at affordable rates. And that's a valid question. I don't know if they're going to be rented at affordable rates. All I can say as well, it's our job to build a program that motivates people to both build them and rent them affordably. Mm-hmm. And we have to monitor it to prove to you that that's happening. And if we don't do enough, then we'll have to figure out about some other rezoning. But for right now, you should support us to try to make this happen, because otherwise we can't get to affordable housing. That's with the ADUs. With the housing on the schools, I think, you know, we've got to show that they can raise the money to build the housing. And we're trying to do that as best we know how. But the reality is, our job is to rezone those schools. And we're going to rezone them. And in their comments, there were some things that they said we should do. For example, there's a conditional use permit required at the private schools. If the private schools are going to build more housing, we're going to eliminate that. They said we should eliminate that, and we're going to eliminate that.
What is that?
It says that the private schools can build additional housing if it goes through a review process with the town. So it has to go to the Planning Commission, and that gives residents who live around the schools the ability to object. And so they don't build by right, they build by conditional use permit. So they got to get issued a conditional use permit. We're taking that away to make that schools can build by right. So if the schools want, we're going to rezone the school property, and the schools want to put an apartment building or town housing on there for their staff, they're going to be able to do it without having to get approval from anyone.
So they could just build, if you guys rezone it, they could just build it. But is it hard to pass the rezoning, or?
No.
It's not?
Well, it takes a vote of the council.
Right.
That's all it takes.
Uh-huh.
And the council will do that.
And I also have another question. So I think you talked about this earlier, but in the possibility of the housing element proposal not, passing the state, or the state not approving it, then they have control of basically housing development. I think I looked it up. Isn't that called a builder's remedy or something like that?
No, it's different.
It's different?
But it is different, but the consequence is the same. So let me address it.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a qualified housing, if any jurisdiction in California doesn't have a qualified housing element, and qualified means it's been certified,
right,
then a builder or a developer can submit a plan to build, and it doesn't have to comply with the local land use zoning law.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, the closest to us is Los Altos Hills, has gotten that they're not in compliance with the state, and they've gotten two builder's remedies building permit applications to build, both of them are to build 44 units on a 1/3 acre parcel. So two separate 1/3 acre parcels, 44 units on each, same property owner.
Uh-huh.
And under the builder's remedy, they won't be able to stop that. Even though, and so that means, on 1/3 acre, 44 units, it's like a 6-story building in Los Altos Hills. That's like putting a 6-story building in the middle of Atherton. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that has been submitted. And as I understand it, under the builder's remedy, if you're not qualified, if you don't have a certified housing element, a builder can assert a development request that you can't deny it. It has to comply with environmental housing or environmental laws, so it has to comply with CEQA. So they can be forced to go through a fairly lengthy process of being able to qualify it to build, but your local land use zoning doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, in Atherton, we basically are one property plus an ADU plus a junior ADU on an acre. That's the most of the zoning in Atherton. And And so if we were not certified, some builder could submit a building application to build a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 story apartment building somewhere. Now we certified, so we were certified. Nice. The state said we weren't satisfactory to them, so there's an argument that we're no longer certified. So we're probably subject to a builder's remedy. That's different from the state taking over your zoning. That's a builder submitting a proposal to build. Where the state takes over your zoning, then they take it over, and if a builder wants to build, they submit it to the state, and the state makes a decision about whether they let it happen or not.
So Atherton is subject to the builder's remedy
if they're not certified. And we're probably not certified because the state has denied it. I mean, we would challenge it in court if we ever got that. Will we be subject to a builder's remedy? It's possible.
Right.
I don't think that it's realistic that a builder's going to try to build something in Atherton under the builder's remedy unless they already own the property. And the same reason that I think that if property changes hands, it's just too expensive. Because under a builder's remedy, the builder has to own the property.
Uh-huh.
So you got to own the property to build on it. And is somebody going to buy a piece of property and then submit a building? It's got to have affordable housing in it. So the builder's remedy requires a minimum of 20% affordable housing. So I don't think that's going to happen in Atherton. Now, I could be wrong, number one. And number two, somebody who already owns a piece of property could decide to put an apartment building on their property. That hasn't come up yet in Atherton, but it's possible.
Uh-huh. And then I have another question. This is probably my final question. But like with the whole affordable housing crisis in the Bay Area, one of the main drivers for that is homelessness and basically trying to shrink that socioeconomic gap. In Atherton, affordable housing is very difficult because the land is very expensive, as you said. So just on a general scope, what do you see as a potential solution, not particularly in Atherton, but in general, to combating that affordable housing crisis and specifically combating homelessness and its connection to affordable housing?
So there's a relationship, but they're two different issues,
right?
I think. The affordable housing crisis and homelessness. I think they're two different issues. There's definitely an affordable housing crisis. I mean, look at how property's gone up, you know. I mean, I've bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 houses in Atherton over my life. The first house I bought in Atherton, I was almost your age. I was 22.
Really?
When I bought my first house. Oh. I bought a three-story house in Berkeley when I graduated from college for $49,000 with 3 other people, $97 down.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful house. It today would sell for $5 million or something. But that's affordable housing crisis. $49,000 was totally affordable. My house payment for 4 of us was $235 a month. You know, that was totally manageable for me. So today, with the cost of housing, it's a crisis. How do you deal with that? Well, you know, we're not seeing new developments like we did 50 years ago. We're not seeing properties built in thousands of units like we used to see. This is when Sunnyvale got developed and, you know, the whole peninsula really got developed from the late 50s. So I think there are things that need to be done around that. And I think the analysis that I've given you and the changes Atherton's talking about making, both in building a program to support and incentivize ADUs and to support the apartment buildings at the schools is a big change. I mean, there's no four-story apartment building in Atherton. We're authorizing four-story apartment buildings at the school properties. That's a big change. That never happened before. 50 years ago, Atherton City Council would have not even had the discussion. So, the homelessness issue, I see falling into three categories. There's a component of it that has to do with housing costs.
Yeah.
And there are people who, you know, end up living in their cars or living on the street because they can't afford housing. And they're working and they try to afford it and they can't afford it and they're just unfortunate. And the affordable housing crisis totally overlaps with them. That's a piece of it. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And we're going to see a whole lot of new housing. I mean, these communities are, look at Redwood City.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new housing going in.
Yeah.
We'll see if it gets rented. I am doubtful that it's going to all get rented. I am very doubtful.
Why?
Because I don't think it's going to be affordable. And I don't know who's going to fill it.
Uh-huh.
So I think we'll see over the next 5 years. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it will get filled. But I don't think it will. I think homelessness includes that housing problem. But it also includes a significant drug problem and a significant mental health problem. And I think California has put, I don't know what, I saw in the paper today, I think in the last 3 or 4 years, $16 billion into homelessness, trying to solve homelessness. That's building organizations, nonprofit organizations that try to address the homeless crisis, but it also builds bureaucracy and it gives money to homeless people to live in motels or buy hotels. I mean, the state has spent a lot of money on this. I mean, and when you look at the numbers, it costs something like $500,000 a year to house a homeless person. That's a big deal, a really big deal. I mean, that's shocking. So to the extent that California is giving money to people that are homeless, either directly or indirectly, I think we're encouraging it. I think we're basically paying people to be homeless. And some people, not all of them, but some of the homeless, I mean, they're homeless, but they'll just take the handout.
Right.
And that's a problem. I mean, California has like 25% of the homeless population in the United States. Why is that? It's partly because we're giving money to the homeless. So it's a huge crisis. I don't pretend to know how to deal with it. I'm just representing Little Atherton.
Right.
We don't have a homeless problem here.
Uh-huh.
We have people who are land rich and cash poor because they moved into their houses when the houses cost $100,000 and now they're worth $10 million. That's a true statement. And they can cover the cost of their house with their Social Security, but they couldn't do any more than that. And they honestly can't afford to move even from Atherton to Redwood City because, well, if they sold their property, they'd make a lot of money, but they don't want to do that. So, I think it's a problem that's beyond me dealing with homelessness. I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
I do think that in Atherton we have an affordable housing crisis because we have a lot of people that work here that can't afford to live here. And I think we can do something about that, which is what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm focused on in the housing element.
Like building more affordable housing.
I mean, it's our job to authorize it, but I don't see how you get to affordable housing unless it's at the schools or it's on private property with ADUs.
Right.
I don't see how you get there anywhere else.
And that comes back to the fact that Atherton's land is so expensive. Yeah. Actually, I have one more question. How do you balance the conflicting interests between what the state wants and what people in the community of Atherton want?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's very hard. For me, my job is to principally pay attention to the people in Atherton. That's who I represent, right? They elect me. and that's my job. I think that, and I look at, that there's one thing we haven't addressed, which is really interesting in this whole subject, which is Southern California is 2 years ahead of us. So San Diego County, they had to have their housing elements done by March 31st, 2021.
Is there a reason behind that? Why they're
ahead? Because it's too much for the state to handle all at one time. So they've divided up all communities to different time zones, different time periods, where they have to have their housing element. And San Diego had to have its by March 31st, 2021. And Orange County and LA County had to have theirs by October 15th, 2021. They got a 1 year extension. So they got theirs pushed to October 15th, 2022. But what that means is that, and ours was January 31st, 2023. So what that means is that San Diego County is, you know, they're 2 years and 3 months since their deadline. We're 6 months since our deadline. Orange County and LA County, if you count their extension, they're 9 months since their deadline. So we have, and 50% of LA and Orange County still aren't qualified. And about a third, or maybe it's 30% of San Diego County still isn't qualified, and they're 2 years and 3 months out. So I'm saying, well, we have the benefit of watching what happens to them because they're way ahead of us. And there's been no fines. There's been no, I mean, there have been lawsuits against them, which they pretty much lost. And we may well get a lawsuit. But the reality is, what are we going to do? I mean, we can't force somebody who lives right over there to put an apartment building on their property. And the state can say, well, no, but you can rezone for it. But it's not reasonable to rezone that person's property to make it an apartment building because it's next to a town center. And what that really means is they can continue to live there, but if they ever want to rebuild it, they can't build a house. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't vote for that. So how to balance the interests of Atherton versus the requirements of the state is very difficult, I think. And personally, I think the state is trying to take control over local communities at a level that isn't right. The people that are pushing that in the state legislature, they're basically trying to export the urban experience in San Francisco, which is the state center from San Francisco, the one that's pushing this the most, to the suburban experience in cities along the peninsula. That's not right. I mean, we're different than San Francisco. And it's not right to totally change the character of this town by putting apartment buildings all over the place. I'm not talking about the very wealthy people, but the very wealthy are very few. Most people in this town bought their properties. They were expensive. They spent everything they had to get into that property. And now they bought it because they wanted the peace and quiet. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I hear the complaint that, well, it's just the wealthy get what they want. They get these big properties. Well, okay, but the wealthy can also afford to build an ADU and rent it at affordable rates. And if they will do that, then that's a good thing, right? For everybody, it's a good thing. We have to build a program that helps them and incentivizes them to do that.
All right.
I think that's as far as I can go, you know. I'm just represent this little town, and there are things I can do to help change the dynamic that this little town would have never done 50 years ago. There's no way that we would have authorized, that the town council would authorize ADUs or four-story apartment buildings on the schools. No way. But now we're doing it because it helps with the housing issue. That's all I know.
All right. Okay. I think those are all my questions.
Okay.
Thank you so much for this. It was really helpful.
No problem. Good. Well, and Alex, if you have any questions as you follow through and think through it, don't hesitate to get back to me.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very
have
welcome.
A good rest of the day.
You too.